Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be back. It feels like I was gone for a long time. It's good to be here. Well, I'm guessing that probably every one of us in this room has prayed at some point or other. Yes? Yes? Yeah. And I'm guessing that probably every one of us in this room has had the experience of feeling like your prayer wasn't answered. Yes? Some? Okay, a few. I was going to say, am I the only one? Really? Okay, well, sometimes it feels like they aren't answered. And did you ever wonder why? When we think about why some prayers seem to be answered and some don't, we might get back to what Paul Hasselbeck at school calls embedded theology. You know, those beliefs that we took on as kids, as children, the way we were brought up, that maybe we were taught that God is too busy to pay attention to your prayer request. So unless it's a big prayer, you know, like your spouse is in the hospital or something, don't worry about little bitty things. God's too busy. Do you ever have that thought? Yeah, there's that. You might feel like you're not worthy, I didn't say it the right way, or there are any number of reasons why we think that maybe the prayers aren't working. Maybe we're not doing it right. Is there a right or wrong way to pray? Is there a particular language that we're supposed to learn and know how to speak to make the prayers effective? We're going to look at some of that today. Greg Braden has a book we're going to explore just a bit today called The Isaiah Effect, and he calls it The Lost Science of Prayer. The Lost Science of Prayer. Now, often I don't hook the word science with prayer. You know, sometimes it just doesn't seem like they go together. But there's a formula that we're going to look at that can make our prayers as effective as they can be. Let's talk just a bit about types of prayers. We don't do this now, but probably, you know, possibly in the past, there you may have done a pleading, begging kind of, please, God. Did you ever do one of those? Yes, yes. You might have done what I call the bartering or the bargaining kind of prayer. God, if you will just do this one thing, then I promise I will go to church for the rest of my life. You know, those kinds of things. Bargaining with God. I used to bargain with God when I was a little girl, and I wanted a bicycle so very badly, and I would give God instructions on where to leave it, you know. You could put it right by the front steps, and I'll find it, and I'll be, There's begging, there's bargaining, there's flattery. You may have heard some people pray, and they'll go on and on about this most perfect, all high heavenly Father, oh gracious, compassionate one. As if you flatter God enough, then maybe your prayer will be heard. Any of that resonate at all? A little bit? Yeah. Well, there is also something called affirmative prayer, and that's what we teach in Unity, and it's going to be closer to what we're going to learn in this formula about effective prayer, about this science of prayer. Eric Butterworth is one of my favorite authors. Unity, well-known, beloved Unity minister, writer. He passed away in 2003, but he has several books, Discover the Power of Within, The Universe is Calling, which is, he refers to God, and it is one of the most powerful books on prayer I have ever read. In one of those, he said, prayer is the most misunderstood subject in the field of religious practice. Prayer is the most misunderstood subject in the field of religious practice. Goes back to that, you know, are we doing it? How are we doing it? It doesn't feel like it's right because sometimes things aren't going, we're not getting what we expect to. Maybe it's our understanding. Maybe. In this book, in the Isaiah effect, it says that feeling is the key to prayer. Feeling is the key to prayer. And in fact, it even says that someone has said, feeling is prayer. Wow, that's a little bit different. Excuse me. He makes a quote. It says, to change the conditions of our outer world, we are invited to actually become the condition of our desire from within. I would ask you to pull out the hymnal for just a moment and open it to page 3. We sing it every week. Hymns are prayers put to music. And notice the words. Thinking about that quote I just said, let peace begin with me. Let this be the moment now. With every step I take, let peace begin with me. This is that. Let me read that again, because I think it's, to change the conditions of our outer world, we are invited to actually become the condition of our desire from within. If we were to be peace, if we were to let peace begin with me, if we were to feel that within, what would be different? What would it look like? It would feel like I am peaceful. I go out into maybe a chaotic situation. But when I am peaceful, I can stay in that space. I can deal with it calmly, probably much more effectively than if I erupt and go off on whoever it is. But if I can be in that place of peace, I become a peacemaker. I become that presence of peace in the world. Let peace begin with me. What we want to see in the outer world, we want to have that come from within. Remembering the feeling is the key. Here's the formula. The formula that he states is that emotion plus thought is feeling. And those three components are what make up this scientific prayer. There is a little bit of explanation I want to give to you. Often when we say emotion and feeling, the words are almost interchangeable, are they not, in our Western usage. He goes back, he says that it wasn't always that way. And that when we're looking at emotion, he says, emotion is the source of power that drives us forward toward our goals in life. If we didn't feel any emotion, would there be any motivation to do anything? Probably not. Not much. So emotion is the power. It's the engine that gets us going. He further says that there are really two primary emotions. There are variations of each one of them, different ways of describing each one, but basically there are two. Not surprisingly, it is love and fear. That's the emotion. Then you have thought. And he says that thought is the guidance system that directs our emotion. Without emotion, there is no power. Only in love or fear, it is only in love or fear that we breathe life into our creations. Okay, so Paul in Scripture said that we are to pray without ceasing, right? And that really doesn't mean that we are supposed to be constantly on our knees or constantly with our hands folded. I think what it is that it is a recognition of this thought, this emotion and thought. And I've had people ask me, oh gosh, if I had this really negative thought, am I going to make it true? The thought by itself doesn't have any power. Now, you put the power, the emotion, with the thought, now you've got something that probably, a feeling, you've now got a feeling. And very possibly, and very probably, that has a good chance of expressing in our world. Is that always going to be positive? Well, it depends on the emotion. So if I say that I want more money, typically when we are asking for prayer, it's going to be, you know, around love, relationship. It's going to be around health. It's going to be around money. It's going to be around the big things in our lives. So then we say, I want more money. What's the emotion? Okay, well, I want more money. I may really want more money. Really, really want more money. Why do I go further? Is it love or is it fear or some variation of that? I'm going to come to the place of, if I'm in that spot of I really, really want money, it's because I'm feeling like I don't have enough. I don't have any. I don't have enough. What is that? Fear. That's the power. And my thought is, I want more money, which is basically saying I don't have enough. And so I'm creating more of that. I am not drawing money to me. I am actually kind of pushing it away because I'm emphasizing what I don't have. Likewise, we can turn it around. If by recognizing that fear, the other side of that is, well, I have the power of my thoughts. I have the power of my imagination to use it in a positive way. So now I can reframe that. I don't want to come from a place of fear. I want to come from a place of love, like Doogie was talking about. When we love other people, when we love ourselves, it's a whole different energy. And so what we are manifesting is something completely different. We can affirm our prosperity, our abundance, and here's where the feeling comes in. As best we can experience that feeling, the more we can experience that feeling, the more likely it is that it will become at least a possibility at some point in time. We don't really have control over yesterday or tomorrow, you know, but God time, when we put together emotion and thoughts, it produces a feeling, and when we are strong enough in it, there's a good chance that it's going to manifest. I thought it made so much sense when I read this the first time. What he says about feeling may only exist in the presence of thought and emotion, represents the union of the two. When we feel, we experience the desire of our emotion merged with the imagination of our thoughts. So that's the formula. That's the science of effective prayer. I want to share a story with you, a powerful story that he uses in here. It's the story of a friend of his named David. David, I believe, is a Native American, and Greg Braden talks about going to visit David. There had been a drought for 2 or 3 years, I think he said. This was in the southwest of the United States. And he describes very beautifully how dry it was. It just, you'd walk and there'd be puffs of dust. And it just was, it was so very dry. He even talked about taking a drink of water and a drip of water from the bottle fell on the ground. And it was so hard and packed that the water didn't even soak into the ground. It just kind of laid there, and then it evaporated. And his friend David said, the ground, the earth is too dry to drink. So it had gotten to the point where it couldn't even absorb yet. So they walked, and David was going to do this ceremony about rain. Greg Braden said that he had seen other Native Americans do things, you know, so he wasn't really sure what to expect, but he went along with David, and they got to a place, and from a distance you couldn't see anything different, but when you started to get closer up, you could tell that it was a Native American, it was a sacred place, it was a Native American medicine wheel, it was a big circle with stones, designated spots in it. So Greg was watching, and David very reverently kind of stopped and paused. He sat down, he took off his shoes, and then he stepped into this circle, this medicine wheel circle. And he walked very slowly with his toes almost touching the stones. He would stop at a stone and seem to, whatever he was doing, but he stopped at each stone. It wasn't until he got almost all the way around the circle that Braden saw that his eyes were closed. So he was doing this all with his eyes closed. He went all around the inside perimeter of the medicine wheel. Then he stopped, and he put his hands together. He stood there for just a few moments, like straightening up, stood a few moments, and then he stepped out of the circle, and he said he was all done. And Braden was like, that was it? I was expecting that a little bit more. You said you were going to pray for rain. And David said, I didn't say I was going to pray for rain. I said I was going to pray rain. Well, that afternoon, they went on back to the village, and by afternoon, clouds were rolling in. The rain started, and it began to just pour. And the ground was so hard that of course there was flooding for a while. Roads got pretty messy, and roads were washing out and all of that. And Braden said something about stopping it, and he said, "Well, that's the problem with the prayer is, I haven't figured that out yet. I don't know how to do that." So it rained and rained, and by the next day the ground was wet enough. It had gotten wet enough that it was able to absorb the rain. And so people were beginning to be ecstatic. Children were playing, and the farmers were beginning to go back out and tend to their fields and so forth. But I want to share with you what Braden says. He says, "Now I knew what David's response, 'I came to pray rain,' meant." The rest of the story is perhaps best shared in David's own words. This is David. "When I was young," he said, "our elders passed on to me the secret of prayer. The secret is that when we ask for something, we acknowledge what we do not have. Continuing to ask only gives power to what has never come to pass. The path between man and the forces of this world begins in our hearts. It is here that our feeling is married to our thinking world. In my prayer, I began with the feeling of gratitude for all that is and all that has come to pass. I gave thanks for the desert wind, the heat, and the drought, for that is the way of it until now. It is not good, it is not bad, it has been our medicine. Then I chose a new medicine. I began to have the feeling of what rain feels like. I felt the feeling of rain upon my body. Standing in the stone circle, I imagined that I was in the plaza of our village, barefoot in the rain. I felt the feeling of wet earth oozing between my naked toes. I smelled the smell of rain on the straw and mud walls of our village after the storms. I felt what it feels like to walk through fields of corn growing up to my chest because the rains had been so plentiful. The old ones remind us that this is how we choose our path in the world. We must first have the feelings of what we wish to experience. This is how we plant the seeds of a new way. From that point forward," David continued, "our prayer becomes a prayer of thanks." Thanks? You mean for what we have created? No, not for what we may have created, David replied. Creation is already complete. Our prayer becomes a prayer of thanks for the opportunity to choose which creation we experience. Through our thanks, we honor all possibilities and bring the ones we choose into this world." Pretty powerful. One of the reasons I liked this so much when I encountered it before, back in the 90s, was I believe this is the same method, this is the same type of prayer that Jesus used. Jesus would approach someone and he would say, "Do you want to be healed?" And the person would say yes, and he would get up and walk. There were no magic words. It was within Jesus, first an acceptance of the person who was asking, you know, or obviously needed prayer. But it was that seeing, feeling, experiencing what he wanted, and the person catching that himself. It wasn't that Jesus was doing it, it was the person. That from Jesus' perspective of his belief of this is so, you know, seeing the perfection that the man truly is, that the person was able to catch that vision and do it himself. I believe this is the way Jesus prayed. I believe this is the way Fillmore's prayed. I believe this is the way that healings happen. This is the way that we are taught as prayer chaplains to pray, to see it already done. Jesus tells us that in Scripture. Pray as if it is already done. So it is kind of a science. It is prayer. It is effectual prayer. It is powerful prayer. It is a way that we can choose the types of experiences that we want. And I believe from the bottom of my heart that when we can embrace this manner of praying, this way of choosing our thoughts, channeling our emotions, our love, hopefully that we are able to powerfully create lives that we want. Let's take this opportunity now to practice our connection, practice our oneness with our Creator. So, if you would allow your body to relax, we breathe deeply. We allow that breath to come in slowly so that it fills our entire body, our entire lungs. We are filled with breath. And then we release. And just like our daily word, I release and I let go. We release all of that breath. We let go until our body is empty, empty of air. And then we do it again. In this natural rhythm of breathing in and breathing out and being quiet, we begin to center ourselves in the awareness and the recognition of that power that is at the core of us, that power that is the truth of us. We are made in the image and likeness of the Creator, not what color our hair is, how tall we are, but the image and likeness of love, of peace, of wisdom, of abundance, of health. And as we put our minds on those things in deep love, as the creations of this Most High, we are able to bring all of that that we can as our unique selves into the world. We are able to pray love, to manifest love from within. We are able to pray peace, to be centered and peaceful and be peace in the world. We are able to be abundance and be health, in that we know that God is source, we know God as source, and we are the channels for that to flow into and through and as. With these awarenesses can come great relief, great relaxation, great peace. and great gratitude. It simplifies things so that all we really need to do is to become still and to be open and receptive and listening. And we might get an intuition that we should go and do something. We might get in a phrase that comes to our mind. We might later hear a conversation or see a sign that perfectly answers the question that we had. That comes from this and these times of communion, of connection. That comes from the oneness that we are. And so as we do each week, let us take a few moments in silence to experience this oneness, to open our hearts and our minds to this presence, and to simply be in the silence. We are grateful for these times of quiet. We are nourished, replenished, renewed. Each time we take time to come apart, to be quiet, to be silent, to be open and receptive to spirit. And today is no different. So today we set an intention to pray without ceasing in that we are mindful of our thoughts, to pray without ceasing in that we are aware of the power that we have within us, and to pray without ceasing so that it is our love that is channeling through our imagination those things we want to outpicture in our lives. And so in deep gratitude and in deep love, we come together now to repeat the words that our master teacher Jesus taught us as he taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.